Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Welcome back to More To It, the show that takes a deep dive into the biggest stories in sports, entertainment, and culture. Start with headline news and then journey to deeper conversations. Always finding those life lessons that are presented in every single story. I'm your host, Marcel Swally. That dude,
Lala. I'm going to do this every time. I know it's cornbread hustling, it's corny, but I love it. Like I love y'all and the support y'all giving your boy, man. Shine a light on the light we're shining on this world, man. Of sports media, and where life intersects it all, man. We're having a great time over here. Oh, man, I had a weekend. I got to take y'all through it. So y'all know how we start off every show. Well, what's up with that dude? Well, first of all, got to show love to all you guys who are supporting ProjectTransition.org. That's right, ProjectTransition.org. Why am I still holding this book? Let me tell you something. Just go to ProjectTransition.org and leave your email. You leave your email, you part of the team, baby. You riding with us. Gatorade on me, right? But if you leave a donation, all of a sudden you enter into the sweepstakes. Love that. You get opportunities for this and other items. But here's the granddaddy of them all. You leave a recurring donation of any amount. I don't care what the amount is. Recurring donation, weekly, monthly, you pick it. You will automatically get this book. It's hitting you for sure. I'm sending it, personalized, autographed book to you. All, every single one. Everyone. All the recurring donors will get this book. And this is my life. This is my life right there for you guys. Love for you. Like I said, man, I had a weekend. It seemed like sports media had a weekend as well. We lost our first game in football. Don't feel bad for us. Don't feel bad for us at all. Oh no, we had so many mental mistakes, including myself, right? I had my guys doing underhand on one possession when it's supposed to be overhand. The difference between running and passing in this league, I had a mental error. I had a penalty in my head, right? And then the guys out there, it's just our first game together, just a little rusty. Now, I'm saying all that, but guess what we did? We lost 18-21 to the best team in our division. And they were good. Lord, I'm looking at them boys like, I could take a little of that, make that work. But they had a squad, been together for a few seasons, and they're older. So I ain't tell my kids any of this because I don't want them making excuses. But I went out there like, discount, double check. I need to discount this game right now because this one's going to hurt. But it was a great learning lesson. It humbled our guys. A few of our attitudes started to walk on clouds because they're not used to losing. But they forget they lost the game last year. And then they saw that same team in the championship game and beat them 30-0. So looking forward to hopefully that being the same foreshadowing. But we'll see. We got a lot of work to do. And since they're getting older, you got to throw the ball, dog. I was like, damn. I was like, I mean, you really got to throw the ball. I was like, I know we got to throw it, but it is 7-07 passing lead. But I was like, damn, we got to throw it. And let's just say the way our quarterback and our receivers work, it doesn't always work out that way. No team. I mean, the team we played yesterday, they had this, they were running a scramble package, basically. Like, their quarterback would get the ball, set up, throw it to the running back, so now you can't rush him with time. So he can do whatever he wants. He was just breaking the pocket and then either throwing it or taking off himself, because now he's the running back, not the quarterback. Not to bore you guys, but it was just fun to see, even in a loss, that there was so much to learn. And I stayed up all night thinking about it. So it is on. I can't wait for our next game. What else happened? I know I sound like I'm in a good spirit, but I'm celebrating life. Went to Canada and had a funeral. That's why there was no show on Friday. We went to the celebration of life of my mother-in-law, and my wife and her two sisters. Great hostess of a great ceremony. And you know how it goes now. I think a lot of these celebrations of life just bring the family together, the friends and family, everyone that they've touched that can be in attendance. And then after that, you know, you got the slideshow where the tears are flowing and you just reflect over their entire life. And it's so sad when you see someone, she died, she was in her 60s, thinks like 65, and they pass away. And then you see a slideshow and you see them when they're 6 or 5. And you're like, damn. And then you're watching your little kids run around, not paying attention, not really having the full gravity of the moment. And my son is 8 and my daughter is 4 and 3. And you're like, I told my wife in support of her, I said, baby, let's just live this life to the fullest before we're a part of that slideshow, right? Before we have our own slideshow. And we all gonna have our own slideshow. So we had to tell the kids that morning. I'm glad we waited all the way to that time because they had the context of that moment to really let their emotions out. And as expected, MJ was tough, but he cried. Mariah was not tough. She didn't even try to do it. She's the one that shows all her emotions on her sleeve. The 4-year-old and our 3-year-old just, she was like, why did grandma die? And why is she in the sky asking real heartfelt questions? But then 2 seconds later, just playing life like normal. So all that love, man, it was a roller coaster emotions this weekend. All right, let's get into some sports, dang it. It's a sports media because not only do I cover sports like everyone else, but I cover those who cover sports like no one else does, right? Let's do it. T.O. wants smoke. Yeah, he wants all the smoke. He went on all the smoke with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson. Shout out to those guys, my homies. So it was good to see because I knew this was in the making. I didn't want to let the cat out the bag. That's not my role. I'm not Adam Schefter. I'm Blefter, Adam Blefter, they used to call me when I would break news and get in trouble for it. But no, it's not my turn. It's not my time to break the news, but it's my time to talk about what I heard and separating parts of the truth from the fake. So T.O. went on the show, got a tremendous platform. We know on Showtime, all the smoke with those two guys, and good for them for just kudos for opening it up, because T.O. doesn't have his podcast anymore. He used to have his podcast, Get Your Popcorn Ready. He had that one, but no longer has it. So he doesn't have the same reach and platform. So he got this opportunity to talk about it. And the thing that he talked about, if you guys watch it, it's about a 10-minute clip. He was really addressing just how Stephen A. and how ESPN has mischaracterized him and really got his name out there in a bad light for many a years. And this is just a straw that broke the camel's back, him calling Stephen A. out and saying that Maxine blacker than him. Couple things that really stuck out to me, the beats of what happened. Let's just go through the science of it. We all know this all started when he went on Stephen A. Smith's show, First Take, and said that to Stephen A. Smith, which I thought was very foul, because then now you define what black is. But I understood what he was saying in a kind of a figurative way, even though I don't agree with him literally. And I don't want to go down that lane where we start to designate what someone is based on their expressions, right? You're acting white, you're acting black. Like, we should really be far away from that, even though we know what that still means. So they gave him the floor. They allowed him to speak. And you could tell that they were being good navigators, good hosts, but being open-minded to it, because I'm sure they got a relationship with Stephen A. Smith as well. And when you don't have both parties there as the host, do you really want to take a side? But they did step into a couple of moments and say, yeah, that wasn't right. Especially the moment when T.O. talked about Stephen A. Smith outing his private messages, okay? So props to them for giving him the megaphone. Props from them for just, hey, allowing you to speak. This is the platform, do you. We got your back in that respect, but we're not gonna shoot for you, right? We ain't gonna grab the gun for you. You gotta talk about what you talk about. Okay, so the main thing that I heard was Mr. Never Personal, who is Stephen A. Smith, who swears by that. Like, he's never, ever gotten personal with somebody, but then had to retract that when he started to be real about the Kyrie Irving situation. Mr. Never Personal, in his own code, also said that he never, ever outs anyone private text messages, private conversations. But I'm looking forward to him saying that he actually did that in this conversation, because T.O. broke it down. Now, I can confirm what T.O. is talking about in terms of he did air his private messages, which we know is a violation, which we know breaks the code, which we know was a big mistake. And Stephen A. Smith even admitted that privately. Here's the worst part about it all, that he admitted it privately to T.O. Yeah, my bad for doing that. I thought it was a tweet, not a text. But then publicly, never ever saying he apologized to T.O. for doing that. But worse than that, actually twisting it to seem like T.O. was on a money grab, a witch hunt, ambulance chase to get some dough because he's hurting for some cash. And it could have all started with, like, man, I messed up. I outed your messages and that wasn't right and I shouldn't have done that. And the only reason I really did that, if I'm going to really be real, is because you had your foot on my neck for calling me not as black as Max. So he really did it out of a desperation attempt to kind of shift the conversation because he was getting boxed in and he was getting beat down by the public criticism of T.O. was right. Y'all did that to Stephen A. You guys made Stephen A. all of a sudden have to come out and now twist this story on T.O. to make him look like he's attention whoring or he's out for the money grab, when really it was just, nah, dog, we were talking privately about something and you didn't have to put that out there about that. Hey, if you want to talk about Max ain't blacker than you and Nana, I'm here for that. I was on your show right then when you talked about it. I brought it up. So that was the only thing I really got from it. And it's interesting because that's where we are right now. And I feel good telling the truth about these situations and still walking up to Stephen A. and anybody else saying, what's up, dog? Love for you, for real, for what you do. But when I see the violations, I guess somebody got to be the referee in this game of sports media, because it's not happening like you think it is. So T.O. brought light to that. I think this story is dead now. I can't imagine Stephen A. Smith wanting to talk about this anymore, because I'm going to be real. I don't think I'm going to talk about this anymore unless there's another layer, but we got it. Stephen A. Smith was on his show, invited T.O. T.O. called Max blacker than him. T.O. had a battery in his back because he felt that he was hearing that from the streets. Stephen A. said that was a huge violation, which it was. I thought it was dead in that moment, but it wasn't. Instead, Stephen A. started to act out on Max because that, talking about a hit dog that hollered. And then he started acting out on Max as he tried to check T.O. in that moment. But T.O. wasn't really full throttle with that comment. He was like, yo, I heard this and I kind of think that. And the way you reacted now, I think it might be real. But the worst part about this was not that. The worst part about this was outing some private messages just to try to get the leg up on T.O., trying to win the conversation, trying to win the public criticism, and then clowning Max in the process, getting Max off the show, and then apologizing to T.O. privately, but then publicly trying to clown him. And never still apologizing to T.O. publicly like you did privately. I've seen the receipts. It's interesting. Matt and Stack saw the receipts as well. So, hey, like Matt and Stack said, I come here in peace. But it seems like we're going to leave this story in pieces because it ain't going to ever, ever come together. Hope you guys just worked that out. And obviously, you know, even though he went on all the smoke, no smoke from this. Okay? No hands, no real actions. Y'all just woof if y'all want to. Loving you the way I do. I have never sounded this good after coaching a game. That lets you know how measured I was yesterday. Maybe it was on me that we lost because I ain't yell enough. I ain't yell at them boys enough. Nah, it's all love, man. 3-point loss. We lost just because we didn't convert any of our extra points. And we got a pick six, which they say automatic six instead of giving you a chance to get 1 or 2 points after that. So no excuses. We lost. We took an L. Them boys were good. I hate to say it. You know what I want to say. boys have, they have more boys than us. Let's just say they have men out there. So we gonna step our game up. We're gonna win between the ears as well. All right, let's talk about Oregon, who tried to win that game before the game started between the ears, and we saw it work. Yes, the effect of that speech from Dan Lanning. Let's talk about it, because going into this game, what was Oregon, a 20-plus point underdog? We saw that before with TCU, so we were like, they can overcome that as well, because TCU was in the national championship game, even though they got boat raced, they got clowned up in there. Still, we were like, Colorado, Deion, they got a shot. I told y'all last week, I didn't think they had a shot. One, you're without Travis Hunter. It's not just because he plays 120 snaps and he goes both ways. It's just because he's your best player. And you think about a game where it's mind over matter, which football really becomes. When you all qualify, it becomes a game of mental, mind over matter. It becomes that kind of mentality. When you lose your top dog, guys are defeated. They don't want to admit it. They don't want to say it. They don't act like it. But you're going to see it out there on the field. It's just that simple, because without that guy who can just ignite everyone, who going to light the fire? And it's not because you don't have other good players out there, but it's just, you know, that you're missing that fire starter. Versus going against Oregon, a storied program now, that is sitting there in their depth chart. What you got to look at is not only Colorado went in there without their best player, but they also don't have the meat of their team like they need up front in the trenches. They ain't got the big dogs just yet. The difference between the storied programs in college football and the ones who just over there trying to tread water are the big dogs. Everybody could go find somebody that run a 4-4 on the edges. Everybody could go find them some fast kids from New Orleans and Florida and California. Everybody has those. Look at college football. I don't care what program. Look at the cornerbacks and the receivers. They all just can run. They lanky. They got muscles. Everybody got those. Who has the 6'5", 310s? That still can move under sub-5, right? Who got those guys on offense? The lineman, the Michigan, you know what I mean? Like a Michigan offense, the lineman is a grown-ass man, right? Who has those guys? And Deion even knows that he was undermanned in that situation. And he didn't have what he needed. He didn't have the big dogs. So this is what this game was built on. Now, in that moment, you got the perfect setup. If you're Deion, to go out there and beat Oregon and come on. Well, guess who else also has the perfect setup? Oregon. Because Oregon is sitting there coming, watching the hype machine come in. And this became a classic battle of flash versus hype. Now, Oregon doesn't like the label of being flash, but they are flashy. Now, flashy is mad that hype came in here with that much noise. When they know that they ain't got the boys to support that. So what does Dan Lanning do? Something genius. Oh, he puts his foot on their neck before the game even started. All right, so here's a couple of quotes from him. He said in his pregame speech, and you know, and I'm not going to take anything away from it, because this is what you're supposed to do. You see somebody down, you stomp them out. He said, quote, rooted in substance, not flash. Rooted in substance. Today we talk with our pads. We talk with your helmet every moment. That's what he said at that speech. The Cinderella story is over, man. They're fighting for clicks. We're fighting for wins. There's a difference. This game ain't gonna be played in Hollywood. It's gonna be played on the grass. Let me go through that real quick, a little beat by beat. Rooted in substance is the harshest part of that. Because he's saying the hype that's around them ain't about nothing. Now, he said it's not flash. When Oregon, with their 98,000 uniforms, is about flash too. But I digress. But when he says it's rooted in substance, he basically like, this is going to be football. And that's just what I loved about his message. He separated the signal from the noise. He said, hey, they could talk all they want and people could talk for them all they want. When you go out there in football, there's a moment of truth right here. What you gonna do? You ready for this? And this ain't about your uniform then. This ain't about who your coach is then. This ain't about what your sunglasses is doing in terms of merchandise sales then. This ain't about none of that. This is about who gonna run through that wall? And that's it. So he brought all of that to a head. But the shot in that was that Oregon is now rooted in substance. Okay, so then they caught up with him after that famous speech, and it went viral immediately, as it should have. He says, I hope all those people that have been watching every week are watching this week. Yeah, that's what he said at halftime. He wasn't done recruiting and he wasn't done piling it on in terms of not only conversation, but the points on Colorado. Okay, let's go inside the huddle. Let's go inside the helmet. I'm gonna take y'all really there. Okay, because I'm loving his passion. I'm loving the fire that he possesses. But the thing that I don't love is, what are you burning in that fire? Because what he put on there was not all of his Oregon Fighting Ducks wood and fuel. He didn't put all of their fuel on there. He used a lot of Colorado's wood, a lot of Colorado's fuel to burn Oregon's fire. Peep game now. That's a dangerous game to play. You got your boys up for this game because they were up for this game. They were up for this game because they saw this coming, and Coach amplified what was coming, all this noise. Now, why did Oregon get that hype for this game? Not just because they're that much better than Colorado, and I really think they're that much better. As even Deion said, get me now. You better get me right now because it's the worst we're going to be. But more, why did they get so up for that game? Because, as they say in psychology, the things you get most angered by are the things you're most guilty of. Oregon know damn well they flashy and full of hype. Now, Oregon also knows somebody came in with even more hype than them. And they looking around like, dog, that's our lane. That's what we do. Now, they want to do more than that. They want to win a national title. They want to win it all. But they know damn well we're going to be captivating. Damn well we're going to have 97 uniforms. Damn well we're going to have color change shoes. It's crazy. In that game, I heard about the color change shoes after the game, not before the game, because before the game, all we were talking about was Colorado. And then right before kickoff, that speech. What happened to the uniforms and the color change and all that? That's how Oregon usually gets hyped up. They got muffled, right? They got muzzled. They ain't get what they wanted. Now, here we go. So now we got a dangerous game because we got Colorado coming in with the same ammunition and fuel that Oregon typically uses. And Coach knew that. So Coach tried to make his team feel like we are more of substance than they are just because they're out hyping us. He tried to do that switch route. It worked too. I liked it. All right. So here we go. Anybody who has ever played has had this epiphany in sports. Bill Belichick. Just think about Bill Belichick, the greatest coach ever in football history. Yeah, I said it. Can't tell right now. Kind of. The greatest epiphany you get in sports is when you realize it's not about them. It's about us. It's not about how they play. It's how we play. Remember that? When you finally learned that? Because at first you were like, oh, man, I'm playing against them. And if they play bad, we going to win. And then you start realizing, that's good, but what's great is, and what's reliable is, and what I can continue to repeat is, we play well, we good. And that's the dangerous game that Dan Lanning is playing. He playing a game of Oregon, get up for Colorado. Why? Because they trying to beat us at our own game. Okay. Now, Coach, we're going to get up for some other people, and they ain't playing that game. They playing a greater game of substance that you just told us that we were rooted in against Colorado. But we don't need more substance than them because they seem all hype to you. You can't get us up every week like that, Coach. What you going to do next week? And I'm sure he got another trick up his sleeve, but be careful trying to play this game with them. So you told everybody that you are not full of hype, full of flash. Oregon, the same Oregon that has never won a national title. This is no shots, but let's just be real. At least Colorado's won one. 9 conference championships since 1964. 9. 58 tries, and y'all won 9 conference championships. I love the switcheroo, but I'm going to be real. If I'm a player on that team, I'm like, all right, Coach, you went to that place. That place ain't going to be long for us. You know, our schedule, we still got to see some real dogs. Look, we're a top program. We've been a top program for a while. When we gonna get over this hump? And it's interesting because Coach Dan Lanning's been bought 14-3, I think, since he's been there. So it ain't like he ain't out there winning. But when are they gonna get over the hump? When are they gonna get beyond the hype and have the substance of doing it all instead of just piecing this together? So I just saw it was just a hype machine versus a flash machine. And I love how Flash turned it on hype to use it as fuel to get them to where they had to go. Oregon looked good though, say what you want. But Coach could have said what he wanted and still got the same result. This is the craziest thing about it all. Everybody's giving that speech all the credit for getting those guys that hype to go there. Okay. But I'm willing to say that Coach could have went out there before the game and said his ABCs. And because they got them dogs up front, they would have won that game. Probably by the same amount. Probably by the same measure. So I just saw that. As a, if I'm a player, I'm not eye-rolling Coach, but I'm like, oh, we playing that game. Okay. Well, when we play the substance teams, I'm looking forward to the substance pregame speech because I don't think I'm going to hear it. I'm going to have to hear something else. This is my life right here. All you recurring donors will get this book. Anyone who goes to projecttransition.org, leave your email. Scroll all the way down at the bottom of the page. You can leave your email, be a part of this team. Gatorade's on me, right? But then if you leave a donation, you will be entered into the sweepstakes. If you leave a recurring donation of any amount, guess what you get? Automatically, I'm sending this book to you. Personalized, autographed, right to the crib, for real. And if you want to leave something in the notes section that is really personalized, I got you guys. So make sure you go to projecttransition.org and leave a recurring donation. Never shut up. The book is yours. Hooked up. That's what I do. I'm telling you, man, we getting support around here. Sponsors over here kicking in, back in. You know what I'm saying? We got that love. Let's talk about Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharpe, their interview on the Stephen A. Smith show, right? Loved it. Loved it. I really did. Respect for both of these guys for holding it down at the top. Even if I take issue with any of them or any of the things they say, it's never with them, the person. Frankly, that's not how I'm built. I talk about the act, not the actor. But let's talk about these acts right here because there's a few things that really stood out to me. Now, the first thing is when I saw that they had an interview, I was like, oh, wow. Interesting. So either A, Stephen A. Smith went to Joe Budden's podcast and was really doing the whole Shannon was pushed out of FS1 Undisputed as a trailer, a teaser for this interview, or B, which is worse, oops, I said that, and because of all of the negative reaction and criticism, I need to do an interview with Shannon real quick to let him clear the air, right? Whatever. I don't know their calendar. I don't know their books. I'm not even going to speculate, but it was one or the other. Either Stephen A. ain't the homie like that, and or that's the kind of homie he really is, which ain't the homie I like. Is telling my business like that, then rushing me to have to kind of clear it up. Or B, you just said it because I said, yeah, it's all good. Tell people. And then you were like, yo, they ain't trying to hear it from me, bro. They trying to hear it from you. Go ahead and clear this up. All right, so then we got into the interview. And I will say that at the beginning of the interview, I was like, I hope this thing don't last like this. I hope they, you know, drop the shoulders. And I've been there before. Everybody's been there before. You walk in, you're kind of like this. And I think it wasn't Stephen A. I think it was Shannon more. Just nervous at first. You know, Stephen A. was trying to loosen that thing up from hello. He was in there just like, you know, the joke. Same old entertaining, talking, HBCU, etc. And Shannon just wanted to be who he is, which is a very humble guy, giving props to everybody. When I say everybody, he named everybody at the Fox lot. I mean, I heard so many names and respect for him for doing that. But at the same time, that ain't why we here. You know your audience. Like, nobody want to hear about Betty and Lot 4. You know what I mean? Like, really? But, hey, that's Shannon. He was taking it literally and he was being humble about it. But I could tell Stephen A. was even like, bruh. Let's get to this, dog. All right, so they finally got to it. They first talked about how Shannon's work relationship wasn't great with Skip Bayless. Now, and he talked through that, and I'm glad he did, because Skip doesn't talk a lot. And he talked about how he didn't talk a lot in the mornings. And that was good to see, because is consistent with Skip Bayless. Y'all see Skip Bayless, and y'all see him, whether it's on his podcast with the notes and just kind of being literal, kind of like in this skinnier, more narrow vacuum than you would assume with a guy who has so many opinions. But that's who he is. Kind of reminds me of all my friends that are comedians. I know a few famous comedians. And in their real lives, they're all quieter. They're all more introverted than you would expect. Like really. Like, you're like, damn, dog, you don't really talk that much. Get on stage, hello, baby, you know? And that's kind of Skip Bayless. Like, he lights up. Not like Stephen A. Stephen A is even more dramatic in that respect, like the contrast. But Skip is to himself, you know, especially between breaks. And I'm glad Shannon pointed that out. And that's usually the time where you can tell where the relationship is between breaks. But it depends on personality. You know, if you're with somebody who can multitask, who can know that they can look at one thing and do another, they can go over their notes real quick, but at the same time, hey man, you good? What you doing after the show? You good? You know, whatever. And some cats gotta be in their notes. Like, shh, stop. You know, and Skip is more like, he'll get up, walk off the set, gather himself, come back on set, do his thing. So Shannon broke that down. What else did I hear? That Shannon, like, what I tell y'all, that Shannon got nothing out of them prep meetings, especially after the pandemic, he said. Them prep meetings are just for your boy, Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless had them cats up in there 4 a.m. talking about nothing. Because why are we talking about nothing? Because we're going to talk about what I want to talk about. So Shannon didn't go that place. He didn't go that far. But basically, he ain't getting nothing out of those prep meetings. He needed to do his prep on his own, right? And it's interesting when you're in a dynamic where somebody has the power, somebody fought for you to get on there, it's their show, let's be real about it, no matter how popular you are, and you still got to go to the beats of their drum, right? And you're like, dog, I don't give a fuck about your drum. Like, I'm playing some beautiful music over here. Check this piano out, right? And then it's just that cultural force and pressure that makes you still have to go to that. Don't you hate that? Like, you at work, I don't know what your job title is, but you're the VP, right? And then the president is sitting there like, yeah, I want everyone here. And you're like, dog, I am so much better if I was over there just doing my work in my cubicle or my office, bro. So that's how that dynamic went. What else did I see? They skipped, and it's crazy. They talked about how he was forced out. Stephen A. teed him up to say, I told everyone you was forced out. You know, the floor is yours. What did you say? And Stephen A. wanted a different answer than what he got from Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp wanted to highlight in that moment that, yeah, the force out occurred, but he wanted to highlight the fact that he owned Club Shay Shay from Hello. And he wanted to highlight that owning Club Shay Shay from Hello was his baby and he wanted to get out. But Stephen A. wanted a little more about that. They never talked about the conversation of forced out. They talked about the conversation when it was quote unquote over. And the conversation of when Shannon talked to Charlie Dixon, who's the head executive over there at Fox in terms of programming and content. And he talked to him with Skip Bayless and basically said, I spoke my piece. I told him, hey, the level of disrespect will not be tolerated anymore. And then Stephen A. was like, so what happened after that? He said, I spoke my piece and left. And I thought that was peculiar. I thought that was weird. Because, like, you got a moment where you're with Skip, who's disrespecting you, and you got the executive, the boss there, and you speak your piece, but you ain't going to try and piece this thing back together. So sometimes, you know, that OK Corral approach, you know, I walked in there, I drew down, and then I just walked away because I already took my shot. And I'm like, I don't know. It sounded like he spoke his piece. The meeting was over, and I think because they didn't piece it back together, that's why the relationship really was over and he was forced out. I just wonder if he would have spoke to Charlie. I know Charlie, like, you know, I have Charlie's ear. I've talked to Charlie. I've been in his house many times. You could talk through those relationships. Now, here's the flip side of that. I think Shannon also knew that Charlie was closer to Skip than him, because Charlie came from ESPN with Skip. Charlie's a part of the crew with Jamie Horowitz that started Undisputed, that started First Takes. So maybe Shannon just read the tea leaves and was like, dog, it's 2-on-1. I'm talking to them, not him and him. So maybe that's why he didn't really stick around and talk through that, maybe. He also talked about he was glad in the moment that he felt the utmost disrespect from Skip that he didn't put hands on him. I'm glad too. I'm glad he didn't put hands on him just simply because that's career suicide. Simple as that. And it ain't that serious. What Skip was saying to you, man, it was disrespectful. It was out of turn. It was out of line. But at the same time, don't amplify it because then it gets lost who really was right or wrong. So I'm glad he said that. And I wouldn't imagine he ever put some hands on Skip. But I love the fact that he did say he refuses to be a slave to loyalty with Skip. Like, Skip, you brought me in here, but you ain't gonna lap dog me. You ain't gonna puppy dog me all the way through 7 years of this. Like, there's a certain point we got to readjust. And I think it's just the same. It's the football player in him. And it's just a person with tremendous common sense. Like, you brought me in here, but now things are different, right? That's like your boy saying, hey, I want you to play on my football team. And you're like, really? Okay, I'm going to tell my parents and sign me up. And then you sign up to go on the football team. And then all of a sudden you start balling. And coach start giving you the rock more. And then you start hating on him to coach. And you start not wanting to give him the ball. And coach's like, no, I called the play, give him the ball. He wasn't open. Okay. Call him play again. He ain't open now? Yeah, he is. And I think that's what was happening, right? And Shannon saw it like, you know, the coach being Charlie Dixon or FS1 that Skip helped build. And then Skip just like, all of a sudden, don't the same guy that he wanted on his team, now he ain't giving him the rock like that. Or he doing it, you know how it goes. You could throw somebody a pass, they can't catch and say, I threw it to him. I threw it to him. So all of that made me just see that this situation was something that they couldn't fix, right? And then he missed that day after DeMar Hamlin, and he talks about how he regretted it. He regrets that moment, least proud moment of his tenure there, and maybe they used it against him. Let me tell you, it wasn't a maybe. It was a definite. I'll tell you why definitely, because if you got Skip saying something about Shannon, and knowing that already Skip had the power to get Shannon on the show, that means you got the power to at least have their ear in terms of, I'm good. I think this relationship has soured, right? You can't make me if you can't break me if you didn't make me, they say. But what if he made it possible for you to be on that show? He can make it impossible for you to continue to be on that show. And I think Skip flexed that muscle. And then when he flexed that muscle, then Charlie and them was like, okay, let's hear from Shannon. And then when they heard from Shannon, they have to pick. Why do they have to pick? You go all the way back to Chris Carter with Nick Wright. And that's the beginning of why whenever they see it ain't going well, they're going to tell one or the other not to go there. Right? Simple as that. They don't want that on-air chemistry to be flawed like that because then you ain't got a product. Simple as that. So it was a final convo that they never really talked through. And I guess they never really had, which was crazy to see. Other than that, I liked the interview. The only parts I really didn't like was it was a lot of more that little brother talk. For some reason, it just feels like, tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm hating or if I'm digging, because I don't want to be that guy, but I'm just like, it feels like Skip and Shannon had this relationship where Shannon caught up to Skip, maybe surpassed Skip, and Skip was just reluctant. But in this one, whether it's because Shannon's only on the show for 2 days a week or just because Stephen A. put it out there early, it's like a big brother, little brother role. And I'm looking at a three-time Super Bowl champion. I'm looking at a guy who's a Hall of Famer, a guy who got that gift, the gab, and just could talk that talk, kind of getting little brothered. And there was a lot of I told you so's and I talked you through that and I told you that from Stephen A. to Shannon. And I thought it was a little excessive. I was like, come on, dog. Like, yeah, all right. Like, if I'm telling my story and then I'm telling it to the world who hasn't heard it yet, and you, my boy, who already heard it, last thing I'm trying to hear as I'm going through it is an escort saying, yeah, I told you to do that. I told you to do this. I told you that was going to happen. I told you that was wrong. I was like, all right, dog. We talked about this already. Let me tell them this. So that was the other thing. And salute to Jamie Horowitz for bringing all this together, because it's crazy because Jamie Horowitz, Undisputed, Jamie Horowitz, First Take, Jamie Horowitz, Sports Nation. And we have all of that in common, right? That the fact that Jamie Horowitz put all that together. So that's dope. You can say what you want about Embrace Debating and all that. He gave us a lot of content and food for thought and fodder for all of us sports fans out there. So salute to a guy, Jamie Horowitz, who we all know and got respect for in terms of how he approached this game and was a tremendous asset to me in my career as well. Other than that, Shannon got dogs. I got cats. No, I ain't got no cats. Salute, rest in peace to Quincy. I was crazy. Like, dude, just a dog just popped up on it. And Shannon said that he's single because he too busy wrapped up into First Take, too busy wrapped up into Stephen A, too busy wrapped up into them dogs. I said, all right, I'm going to end this interview right there. Love the interview. Did you guys love the interview? And also, what was your biggest learn from that interview? My biggest learn is that Shannon is going to be in a role that he's going to continue to dominate, but it's going to be in a limited fashion. Kind of like, I don't know, like Rocket Ismail or something. He's going to be the Rocket Ismail. Like, you'll be like, I'm giving the ball more. But he ain't. But every time he get it, he going to ball out. That's what I feel like. 2 days a week is going to be tremendous, but I don't think it's going to be enough for him to get it all like he used to have it. But he's still going to make a huge impact. The ratings already suggest that. Love for you guys, projecttransition.org. Leave your email. Just join the team. I don't want nothing. I'm good, homie. Or you can leave a donation to be entered into the sweepstakes. Or you leave a recurring donation. I am sending you this book immediately. Yes, this is my life, my life, my life, my life. Every page of it. Here we go, y'all. Let's talk about Dana White, who has now spoke on the matter of transgender athletes in sports. And let's talk about women, men, transgenders in the UFC. So Dana White, we all know he is president of the UFC, expressed his opinion on transgender athletes and women's sports. He has a long history in combat sports, as we know, and initially stated, crazy enough, that women would never compete in the UFC, which changed in 2013. Damn, it's crazy, right? We forget about that. I don't even remember it, but now I'm like, wow, maybe I wasn't into the UFC before then, but at the same time, there was a time where we thought that women wouldn't be in the UFC, and that's why this is an interesting conversation. Will there be a time where transgenders will be in the UFC? Well, he's talked about his concern with transgender athletes in women's sports and used his daughter as an example of why he opposes it. Now, we never hear about the transgender male being in the sports with the male. You know that, right? It's always a transgender female that's in the sports with the biological females, the real women, right? So let's talk about that. So White sees it as a nutty, insane thing, as I quote, nutty, insane thing happening in the world, and doesn't want to see biological males competing against his daughter. And I have he's second what I've already said. This issue continues to be a fire starter unnecessarily, I feel. Because I think it's an issue where if you look at a biological male, it's pretty evident and obvious, as this world has stated, since we started sports and competitive sports, that it's okay to discriminate based on many factors. You discriminated based on age. As I talked about my football team, they're 8 now. My son is 8 years old. He had to move up a division. Now he goes against 8 and 9 year olds. He's the youngest out there. It's just that simple. If you're a 10-year-old, you're not out there with them. If you're a 7-year-old, you're not out there with them unless you want to move up. Good luck to you, right? But the point is, we have designated this off of discrimination, right? Discriminatory practices. It's okay. Age. We also do it by gender, right? We also do it by weight. We also do it by abilities. Like, it's okay. So now we're going to do it. If you don't want to go into the whole, which I don't understand. Oh, well, you know, there's not just 2 genders. Yeah, there are. At least in this household, in the Wiley household, there's 2 genders, boys and girls. And I have 3 girls and I have 1 boy. Simple as that. Not trying to be controversial. And that's not controversial. But if you want to be controversial and say, oh, there are more. Okay, that's fine. We still have designations, even if you want. Transgender, you compete against transgender. Case solved, case dismissed. But if it's not dismissed, then let's just welcome everyone to equality. Because equality comes with boos and cheers. It comes with criticism, right? It comes with borders, right? Just like freedom of speech. Someone saying, I want equality. Well, freedom of speech comes with borders as well. You can't say everything. And equality also comes with some restrictions. I hate to tell you, it does, right? I want to be free. I want to do what I want to do. Yeah, but you're still going to pay your taxes. You know what I mean? Et cetera. I could bore you to death with all the examples. So My question is, are you in agreement with Dana White? My question is, would you be okay with a biological male matching up with your daughters? Lord. How can we keep the sports industry respectful to the community, transgender community, which needs to be respected, but at the same time, that has to be mutual. You got to respect that, hey, may have just a natural advantage over somebody else. This conversation seems like it would never end, unfortunately, but hopefully we'll come to a resolution that is going to be respectful and equal, even though we know that still comes with criticism. All right, y'all, it's time for me to go into the week 3 no cap recap. We got Eagles and Buccaneers tonight. Oh, that's going to be a good game. I ain't going to lie to y'all. I am going to take the Buccaneers in this one. Yeah, I think that fire that Baker Mayfield unlit is going to burn for a second right now. So I go Buccaneers, Rams, and Bengals. I'm going with the Rams. Yes. Let's see if I'm right about that. All right, now we got the Falcons and Lions. We saw the Lions beat them 20-6. Detroit is real scrappy. We already know Atlanta's really good, improved, but at the same time, got some growing pains to go through. They got shut down, man. Only scored 6 points and three in the second quarter, three at the end of the game, fourth quarter. That was it. Look for Detroit to be mucking it up for everybody this year. Bill smoked the Commanders. Damn, Magic went all the way out there sitting in the suite, saw that 37-3 beat. Damn, we saw Josh Allen have a good game, not a great game, but they went out there and still balled out. Diggs did his thing, got over 100. Oh, let's talk about the Broncos getting smashed by the Dolphins. I'm trying to go through this fast because y'all can go to other sites and go deeper about this. The Dolphins are insane. I told y'all when they played the Chargers week one, I hadn't seen that level of talent, athleticism, especially on the edges. That team can run. That team can move. Well, 70-20. Makes me feel good about my Chargers, actually, because we basically had that game won and then gave it up at the end. So Dolphins are insane right now. So nobody wants to see the Dolphins as the Broncos. Just, I don't even know if the Broncos saw the Dolphins. They didn't stop them. 70-20. Ah, we saw the Texans beat the Jaguars. Woo! Jaguars. And the Texans have the same record. And that means Texans have the edge over them in the divisions. Slow start to the Jacksonville season right now. We got to see what's going on over there, all right? And see what they're going to do, because they got to respond because the expectations were greater this year. All right, Colts beat the Ravens. That was a little bit of a surprise, especially because you know who was starting that quarterback? Gardner Minshew. You let Gardner Minshew go out there? Lamar Jackson not having his best year just yet, even though he ran that ball yesterday. Throwing the ball, everything is not clicking, not meshing fully just yet. When they get the wins, you know, it's like, 19 points. Okay. When we going to get this offense clicking? But it is a new system, so maybe it's going to take time. Or maybe that old run dominant system they had before was better. Crazy. Chargers squeaked out one, got the Vikings 28-24. Justin Herbert had maybe a perfect game. One of them Tua type games now, I'm starting to say. But it looked really good. Keenan Allen, my God, what are you doing? 18 for 215, that's silly. All right, we got the Patriots beating the Jets. Zach Wilson, you in trouble, brother. You putting up rushing yards as a quarterback. It's going to be a problem, man. I thought it was like just that Dallas game, and then I was like, no, we still seeing it. Woo, they're kicking themselves over there being on that treadmill at quarterback waiting for Aaron Rodgers to get healthy. All right, Saints and Packers. How did the Packers come back on this one? Well, they did. They were down 17-0 in the fourth quarter and said, let me go win this 18-17. Damn. Got to play four quarters of ball. I thought I felt bad after my itty-bitties lost yesterday. That would hurt. 27-3, Browns beat the Titans. I don't know what's going on with the Titans. Why y'all beat the Chargers if y'all ain't going to be good? It's crazy. 27-3, Deshaun Watson. Ah, he must have watched the clip on him. Sounds like he is reconciled with his past. Nah, that was a really good game from Deshaun Watson. It started there. 27-3, best game he's had since he's been a Cleveland Brown. And I'm rooting for the guy to just accept who he is, the good and the bad, and be a baller. Seahawks and the Panthers. Oh, my God. Whew, Carolina ain't going to get a win, huh? All right. And Seahawks, they're going to be – Seahawks kind of like Detroit to me, right? I think they're the same team, like maybe an inch off of just that top contending team, but still going to give you a lot. You have to deal with Geno still rolling, y'all. Say what you want. Geno still rolling. All right, we got the Cardinals. I don't know how, but they did. They beat the Cowboys. And that was crazy. You didn't really see crazy statistical numbers either. They just beat the Cowboys, right? And as you can see, Tony Pollard had a good game. Dak Prescott didn't have a horrible game, not a great game. But wasn't enough. They lost 28-16. Ooh, Cowboys fans, I ain't going to beat you up like everybody else is, but you can't lose those games. You just can't. Look at me coughing. Excuse me, Miss Purdy. Chiefs and Bears, 41-10. Yeah, Chiefs are real, as we already know. Bears are the Bears. How many games they lost on a roll? Like 14 or something? Oof. Justin Fields, Justin Fields didn't even have 100 yards passing, y'all. It's ugly. Damn, that is bad. I thought Zach Wilson was struggling out here. And you look on the websites, all you see is Taylor Swift. Well, y'all crazy, boy. Y'all crazy. And now we got the Steelers. We saw that game against the Raiders. I predicted that one. I actually told my boy, I told Mark Quest that the Steelers were going to win 23-20. They ended up winning 23-18. That's when you want to go to Vegas. And then you actually go to Vegas and bet, and then you don't win that game. It turns out to be the Dolphins. Dolphins in a damn Broncos game. You're like, what happened? I thought they were going to win by that much. So crazy. But I almost nailed that game right there. 49ers and Giants, 30-12. 49ers are insane in the membrane. We know that as well. Probably our top dog in the NFC, top dog in the AFC has to be the Miami Dolphins. So that's my no cap recap. Just letting you guys know I still love football and talk it, but y'all can have some fun, some other sites, and then go deep into it. Oh my God, the rushing yards per attempt and all those other good stuff. Good thing. All right, y'all, let's fungal some comments. Let's get into it, man. Fungal some comments, yeah. Women's tennis. Funny hearing a pergola argue about fair pay when you consider her billionaire parents and how they've allegedly treated their lower paid employees. Additionally, people don't realize how few players on the ATP and WTA don't make money. Outside of the faces, you know, there's a huge drop off. That's real, which is why tennis forever has a match fixing problem. It's the easiest sport to fix. Oh, my ankle. I have to retire. And a lot of the players barely make enough to pay to get to the tournament. What makes women's tennis also appealing is that it's held at the same time place as the men's event, and it's a different game, skill versus power. Also, the women wear stylish uniforms that flatter their forms, skirts and dress-style uniforms occasionally with the mid-rib exposed and bare shoulders, but done in a way that is still ultimately stylish over sexy. So as a business, you can draw fans on two levels. They watch for the skill, but also, like many female fans do to male athletes, actors, musicians, etc., can admire the female form. Athletes of both genders are young and fit, and like models and actors, actresses, it's foolish to deny the eye candy aspect as well. Oh, stop. I ain't even going to try and deny it. Woo, I used to watch women's tennis. When Serena first hit the scene, I was like, goodness. And then Sharapova and all. Like, I just look at it, one, because they fine, some of them, most of them. But then two, it's like, dang, those, like 6 foot, you see somebody moving. I just like looking at it. Like, and I like the skill level. To me, it's just like comparable. But this stupid, like we have an argument over like our sex appeal or how you look when you're performing. I don't care how you look. Yeah, you do. And you better. And I'm not talking about you got to look glamorous as a woman or a man. But damn it, I know dudes, we used to have our wristbands and getting fresh. You know, got your ponytail, Cassie, you said the ponytail, hitting the toothbrush, getting tight. Ah, game, like, it's a dude, like, he ain't losing nothing. Like, he ain't feminine, he just trying to look right. What does Dion say? Look good, feel good, play good, get paid good. Stop it, man. I hate when people got those cuts. Well, I'm not supposed to look at them. What you looking at then? How you watching a match and ain't watching how good they look or ugly they look? I could tell a dude athletic and not like, ooh, that ain't a good looking dude, but whatever. Go ahead, hit him. Like, ooh, that's a mean face. I look at the dog with his OCD moves. I'm like, stop. Just stop faking it. All right, women in sports are so entitled. Uh-oh. With respect to tennis, they play best of three sets. That's fewer. Their matches last on average less than an hour in Grand Slams, while men's matches last about 2.5 hours and can last about 4 hours. Women put on an inferior product with lesser strength, speed, quality, fans, revenue, and yet they earn as much as more than men. This happens in multiple sports because of political correctness. Can't argue that. Look, I'm a person that you eat what you kill. And they don't kill the same amount, but I don't think they eat the same amount as well. 500 level, 1,000 level tennis tournaments, they do not get paid the same as the men. Just the Grand Slams. Well, in the Denny's. Just the Grand Slams. So I hear what you're saying, and that's not right when it's like that. I hate that too. But they also don't get paid the same as the men. Just stop watching them big tournaments. You'll tell. You should get paid what you earn and not what you should. Admissions and ratings should determine what you get paid. If ratings and admissions show women are generating what men are, men, they should be paid equally. Well, you are right, and I'm with you. We are both Captain Obvious on that one. Whitlock versus Deion. I remember after Kobe scored 60 points in his last game, Jason Whitlock said the next day, Kobe Bryant is the most fraudulent celebrity superstar athlete we have ever seen. Whitlock has been a bona fide hater for a long, long time. It doesn't surprise me. Okay, he's a bona fide hater. Look, Kobe's last game was even interesting to me. I'm not a hater. I love Kobe. I was like, damn it, how many shots he take to get 60 on the last game? But everybody's like, oh, it doesn't matter. I was like, well, it doesn't matter unless that game mattered. And he did take 60 shots to get 60 points. But hey, that's how you're going to go out because you Kobe, respect. Whitlock's behavior is entirely inappropriate. Here we go. Coach has consistently been a source of empowerment, a fatherly figure, an exceptional leader, and a role model to everyone. It's worth noting that Whitlock didn't raise any concerns when Brett Favre, who was on the Blaze with Sapp and others, about Favre's allegedly involved in financial misconduct. I'm done with Whitlock. Ooh. Not a fan of the whole Whitlock stuff. Like, if Whitlock is not as black as, if we're going to do the T.O. Stephen A. Smith thing again, that's all right, but he ain't white. He ain't gonna ever be white, no matter how he sounds, acts, et cetera. I know what you're saying, though, so I'm not gonna go down that rabbit hole. Here's the thing I agree with you with. He gotta come at Brett Favre. Like, ain't no way I'm doing a show, and I ain't doing a show with somebody who is in the public eye news scandal, and then they gonna come on the show and peep game. Criticize somebody else? I'm like, okay, yeah, you right, you right. How about this about you? We just at least, I don't know if he has, please tell me he has at least turned the mic once at Brett Favre's, like, address that. I don't know. I would do that. But that's in part why I don't like guests, because you start having to let them win. Whitlock, got to let him win. You got Brett Favre on there. You can't make him lose. So you can't ask him the questions. That's a real raw. Part of the reason. I'm going to have guests going forward. We're going to lay this thing out and we're going to layer this. But I want y'all to hear me first. I want y'all to know who I am. So when somebody come on here, they already know what they stepping into. If somebody come on my show and they in some trouble, we talking about the trouble first. Like, come on, dog. Ain't nobody trying to see you throw no rocks out no glass house. If he's a black person who's getting recognized for success, particularly if they are helping other people achieve success, Whitlock is going to have something negative to say. It's a running narrative on my boy. I work with him. He's a great listener. And what I like most about him is he is himself. He's going to say what he wants to say. He's going to listen, though. It's tough. The whole he always comes harder on black people because we talk. Let's be real. If you're talking sports, you're talking two sports. Basketball and football. One is 55% black and 70% minority, and the other one is what, 70% black and 80 some percent minority. You talk basketball and football, you don't talk about some black people. It's just simple as that. But I know what you're saying. It's like it does feel highlighted, it does feel amplified. So I hear you. Cam and Mace. Considering Cam and Mace have limited knowledge of sports, especially Mace, OJ is much needed for their show. It is what it is. It's the best show around. It is a funny show. I give it that. That is funny. I got to check out more OJ, though. Mason Cameron give OJ the platform to show his football knowledge. They make OJ seem more human and relatable. Gives the younger generation something to know OJ by other than his trial. I love that. OJ has the opportunity to write his name back into the football ledger as a legend. That is dope. One of my favorite comments ever. Maybe my favorite ever. Rewrite OJ, right? Like, let OJ. He got out. Then he went back in for something else that we were like, really? So let him write his own thing. I really believe in second chances. Look, if you found not guilty, it's because I didn't pay attention to the whole trial. So I'm not going to sit here and say, how did I dare? How did you dare do it? I'm like, shut up. Did you watch all of it? No, well, shut up. NFL prop bet. I got a little bit of it. Somebody won that prop bet. All right. Somebody said, I got some of that dough. All right. You know how we finish every show. We finish it with a Wiley-ism. Yeah. Today's Wiley-ism. I'm going to have to say it like he said it too. Even the sun goes down. Where's that from? I ain't going to put his name out there. Even the sun goes down. Heroes eventually die. Horoscopes often lie. And sometimes why? Nothing is for show. Nothing is forever. Dang, I could have nailed it. It's Andre 3000, y'all. Even the sun goes down, y'all. It's okay. Like, it's okay to take that L. It's okay. It's okay to not feel your best. It's okay. because we're going to work on getting right back up because the sun going to rise. You know the sun going to rise. So even the sun goes down. It's okay. I'm so competitive that I can accept a loss and defeat pretty fast because I know I'm coming back. I think sometimes I see people who are almost in production of showing their emotions of their loss. You know, my son is, he's 8 and he's already doing it. He's like really down and, "Dad, I just hate losing." I was like, "I know, but you love that winning, don't you?" Right? And he's like, "Yeah." I said, "Let's get back to the winning and let's have a winning attitude to get back to that winning, because you got to fake it till you make it. We just lost. We can't be sitting there in a losing attitude. We can't be sitting there beat up by the losing. You know, I understand you ain't feeling your best, because I don't feel my best. I ain't have a good night's sleep last night, tell you the truth, just because I was like, how did they beat us? I was like, well, one, they were better. Let me say, 2, they were older. 3, they were faster. I was like, no. I keep it real. But I was like, but we could still beat them. I was like, we lost by 3 points with no extra points, and we could beat them. They ain't beat us. We beat ourselves and they beat us. It was a double whammy. So the point is, man, look, when you're going through it, it's okay. Just know that you're going to rise again, man. That's the thing. It becomes episodic if people forget that down means up. Like, all right, you a ball. Man, I'm down. Boom, I'm up. That's what the ball does. It bounces up. So whatever you think is down there, just know that it's going to come up here. Let's go. The kids always say, let's go. Even the sun goes down, man. When that hit me, I was like, the brightest light in this world, right? The sun, you can't even stare at it because it's too bright. Even that goes down. Even that has to take a little time off, take a little break, take a L, go somewhere else and shine, right? So maybe sometimes we got to look at it like that. Like, you know, the sun is really always shining. It's just what part of the world you're in. What part, what phase, what perspective are you looking at things? Because maybe it went down to you. You lost something right here, but it's shining somewhere else. I've noticed that sometimes when I'm going through issues and growing up financially, we didn't have much, but we had each other. So the sun was down in our money column, but it was up and bright in terms of the togetherness and the family and the connective tissue we had as a family. Like, yeah, I wish my family's still tight, but we ain't as tight because we all got to live. We all grown, and I see you when I see you and I ain't seen you. It's one of those situations. So I'm trying to tighten the bolts on that. But just remember, man, it's bright somewhere in your life. It's bright somewhere in this world. But even the sun goes down. Heroes of Fin. Let me stop.
All right, y'all. That'll do it for More to It. Check the show notes for all the information on our topics today. Today! Want to keep the conversation going? Let's talk. Find me on all socials at Marcellus Wiley. More to It is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, Dad Dude Entertainment, and Workhouse Media. The show is executive produced by Dan Patrick, Marcellus Wiley, Paul Anderson, and Nick Pinella. Thanks for all the love, ratings, and subscriptions, and reviews, membership to Wiley's World on YouTube. Keep it coming, because there's more coming from More to It. Talk to y'all hella soon.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.